It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
We are back. I like that cover version of She's Like the Wind. I don't like the original. I kind of like that one a little bit better.
I do too. It was a little draggy, the original, and this one at least it moves along. I liked it.
A little pep in the step.
Yep.
Some good dance music. So this is the part of the interview I did with Paul Bond yesterday. He's got a comedy tour coming up to New Paltz, New York. It's a right-wing comedy performance, so we talk about that. So enjoy the interview. I am joined by comedian Paul Bond. Long time no talk, Paul. How are you?
I'm very good, buddy. I'm just out doing my rescue work, helping the ferals one at a time, you know.
So you're coming up to my neck of the woods. You're coming to New Paltz, New York, with a brand new comedy show called All In, and the slug line is a comedy show for like-minded Americans. What does that mean?
No. You know what? You know what's weird, Davin? I know that you probably agree with most of what I sent you the poster.
Yes.
Of what my poster says, which is, you know, pro-troop, pro-vet, pro-cop, pro-Second Amendment, pro-First Amendment, pro-animal rights, and pro-laughter. I was going to add provolone and probiotic, but I thought that was getting out of hand.
Well, I feel like you're. I feel like you've overlooked the cheese demographic by omitting provolone.
I know. I didn't want to get Munster jealous.
Oh, they well, you know what? If this is really for like-minded Americans, you should have left off the provolone and included American cheese. But who am I?
I did. Actually, the tour has been renamed since we spoke last.
Oh, really?
It's called the Paul Bond Pro America Comedy Tour, and the poster has changed. But I didn't have it for Novellas, where I'm going to be there a week from Saturday. Very exciting.
It is. Now, it's funny you mentioned this pro-America. I was at the Orange County Fair. I met this lovely couple. They were waiting in the rain as I was, but they were waiting for Toby Keith to go to the Toby Keith show. And what they said is, you know, they like Toby Keith because, and I don't know their political leanings one way or the other, but they like Toby Keith because he's pro-American. And I said, well, I don't really think there's too many touring artists, musicians, comedians, you, Toby Keith, anybody that are really touring is anti-American. But I hear that, but I don't know what that means. Like, who's getting on stage in America going, screw America now, let's rock?
Yeah. Are you ready to hate America? Let's do this. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it is definitely a declaration of... I had to create this tour, Davin.
Okay.
And I think you know why. It's because of the cancel culture. And the cancel culture doesn't want to hear from a conservative comic or... I'm actually an independent that leans right. That's what I am.
See, but I gotta push back on you. And here's why.
Yeah.
As you know, you and I have been doing this forever. And...
Yeah.
You know, I tour all over the country, all over the world. And it used to be, before they were woke... It was woke, middle-aged, white women that were the biggest pain in my thorn.
Yeah, they still aren't.
But here's the thing. They would get upset for other people. And I've talked about this on the show many times. I could be making a joke about black people, and the black people would be fine. It'd be the white middle-aged woman in her 40s that would cause me problems. Okay.
Exactly.
But here's what I've noticed. Because I've always done political humor. There is... And let me preface this by saying the vast majority of these people in comedy shows are fantastic. That being said, there is no bigger snowflake than a Trump audience member if you try to do Trump material. So I don't know if it's a cancel culture left thing. I think it's a cancel culture everybody thing.
I'm going to give you a little pushback myself now.
Okay.
Because I lost 3 resorts in 1 lesbian joke.
Well, I talked about that story on the air last week. I don't think that's a left right thing. I think that's people that shouldn't be in the comedy show.
As soon as you start, yeah, it is because they get it once they smell it. because this couple waited to get triggered. And as far as I'm concerned, the right has a bigger sense of humor than the left.
See, I disagree.
Oh, what it is. They're not looking to ever cancel you. Okay, Sean Hannity, okay, and I don't like the guy, but he actually didn't try to cancel Bill Maher when he had Politically Incorrect. He went to bat for him because of freedom of speech rights. You know what I'm saying? So the right will come to your defense when it's something defendable according to the Constitution.
They canceled the Dixie Chicks.
The left doesn't want to hear anything you have to say if it doesn't agree with their thoughts.
I got to push back. First of all, this will start with the Dixie Chicks way back when. The right went after Dixie.
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree.
But that being said, so now you were obviously catering this to people who support Trump. What happens now? You have a lot of fans that are maybe not familiar with your political leanings, with your social media stuff. They've seen you at comedy shows. They like the Paul Bond product. They want to see Paul Bond, but they haven't seen you in a while. Is there going to be something for them in this show?
Well, here's the thing. When I start the show, I start off by singing the national anthem myself with the flag in the room. And it kind of separates the patriots from the non-patriots. And, you know, if you're kneeling or not standing, I'm going to make a remark.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
You know, if this flag offends you, I'll help you pack. You know, so my show is, I say, a pro-patriot show because regardless of what's going down, whether it's Black Lives Matter, Antifa, white supremacists that are supposed to be all over this country for some reason, they're the major problem, according to Biden.
Hold on. Not according to Biden. According to the FBI. But go on. I don't want to go in.
Davin, the show's funny, and okay, it only deals in political, in the political aspect, maybe the first 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
The other 50 minutes are not political at all.
Okay.
They're just new material. And you know my idol is George Carlin.
Correct.
So I kind of write in his style.
Uh-huh.
And I also do a tribute to George Carlin in my act. It's anybody with a sense of humor who can take a left joke.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know what it is? I enjoy a clever approach like you do.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy a clever approach to a political joke. Okay?
Okay.
And I pride myself in that same aspect, that I won't just write a shit show just to shit on the left. I won't do it.
Good.
It's not worth it. You know, even if I have a talk show coming out, a conservative talk show, which is Alan Johnny Carson, a monologue and sketches, but even my monologue is really kind of tongue-in-cheek. It may trigger some people on the left because of some of the usage of words I use,
mm-hmm,
you know, and some cornball aspects of it because that's my fault because I love puns.
Right.
But it's never a vicious, vindictive, fuck them, that kind of attitude.
Cool. So it's good jokes.
It's smart. I start off the show with the national anthem, but then I go into, remember Lady is a Tramp? You know?
The Lady is a Tramp? What?
The song.
The Frank Sinatra
song.
The Lady
is a Tramp by Sinatra.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So the first few lines to the song go, she'll get on both knees and hob the knob just to get a good paying government job. She's nothing but a socialist slob.
Wow.
That's right, Kamala is a tramp. You know, so
wow.
And the second verse is really funny, and then it goes into the chorus where it involves Joe. But it's done in a Vegas style, snap your fingers, tongue-in-cheek fashion where,
okay,
I don't know what, you know what I'm saying? It's never the C word or F them,
mm-hmm,
or, you know,
so let me ask you this:
high road, even though that's about being a tramp.
Yeah, I don't think a blowjob joke is necessarily the high road, but that's okay.
For me, it is.
No, I've seen you work. That's actually not true. You're doing yourself a disservice.
I wanted to perform to an audience that's not going to be offended by my viewpoints. That's really all it is.
Right. That's fair.
And my wife was worried. She said, "You're going to lose half the audience." I said, "Let's be honest. I'm in this business 30 years. Nobody knows who the fuck I am. I'm not full of myself, and I'm not worried about losing the half. I don't want to try to not offend." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this whole thing happened over the COVID thing. I say, I got to be all in. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, basically. And I think it's fun. I still think it's a uplifting show. Mm-hmm. It's patriotic. And the people who are real Democrats, will probably appreciate this fucking show.
How can people order tickets for this August 14th show in New Paltz, New York?
They can go to NovellasCatering.com. I will have up on my Facebook page. I appreciate your time.
Check out Paul if you're in the area on Saturday, August 14th at Novellas Catering, and you will have a good time no matter what your political persuasion is. And then after the show, if you disagree, you can tell him you could disagree, and make sure you're streaming that because I want to fucking see it.
Yeah, well, there is a meet and greet afterwards, so shit can happen.
Oh, by all means, meet and greet, kids.
Oh, by the way, yeah, there's a cocktail hour with appetizers, nice. Then the show, and Gene Triplo is on the show. You know how funny he is.
Gene's hilarious.
And Gene Triplo will do a nice solid half before me, mm-hmm. and then I'll do an hour, and then there's a meet and greet afterwards. So
sounds like a good time.
For the price, you're getting a full night.
Sounds like a good time. All right, buddy. Keep taking care of those cats, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, love you, David. Take care. Hello, bye, Joe, and bye the female. I don't know.
There you go. That was part of the interview we did with Mr. Paul Bond early. So if you're not doing anything August 14th and you're in the New Paltz area, by all means, check it out. You will have fun.
Paul's show's great, too. He cracks me up. Very good.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So check that out, kids. That was Paul Bond. The interview was longer. He brought up how he and I, you know, had that thing that I talked about last week. But, you know, listen. There's only so much amount of time, you know. So I want to put some interesting tidbits up there and promote that show. But we must move on with the rest of our nonsense. But check out Paul Bond on August 14th, and Pip, you would like him because he takes care of feral cats. So I know you appreciate that.
I do appreciate that part of him. I very much.
Yes, he does. He does good work. All right, let's do some more comics in the news. I don't know. I guess that could have been under comics in the news, but we'll do some other comics in the news, as the kids say, if I can friggin' find this thing. Here we go.
And now it's time for comics in the news.
Alrighty then. So, Saturday Night Live head writer and comedian Michael Shea wiped his Instagram account of all posts Thursday night after receiving backlash for posting jokes about Olympic gymnast Simone Biles. By the way, on an aside, why does everybody need to have an opinion on Simone Biles? Well, I don't understand this, why people need to weigh in. It's the bravest thing. Oh, she's a coward. It was her decision. She's cool with it. Her teammates are cool with it. Her coach is cool with it. Why do you care? Why does everybody have to weigh in?
Because it's topical.
I guess, but these fat motherfuckers who are the most unathletic people, but, you know, they're trying to put a political bent on it and trying to get some heat on her Simone Biles names. Let's be honest. The vast, vast, vast majority of people who are listening to this, we will never accomplish or do or make the sacrifices for her country. Now, they're not military sacrifices, but still sacrifices to represent her country, like Simone Biles has done. So really, we can't relate. We didn't know what the twisties were before. I thought the twisties was the shit you put on the end of the bread bag, but apparently it's a thing for gymnasts when they're up in the air and their body isn't doing what their mind is telling them to do, and it's very dangerous. But everybody's commenting. I didn't comment because I don't know anything about it. You know, obviously this woman's not a coward. Obviously this woman has strong intestinal fortitude. It just wasn't happening this week. Let's move on. We still won gold and other.
It really needed to.
What?
Not really.
No, some of her replacements won gold. I mean, really. Let's be honest. Even when the Olympics come, most of us don't pay attention to gymnastics. But those of us who pay attention during the Olympics, the vast, vast majority of us, don't pay attention except for the Olympics. So now we're all experts, and this woman is regarded as the greatest of all time, and now we all need to weigh in on her. It's a little ridiculous. That's why I didn't...
You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm looking at all angles, and I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, right. Why would you give a shit? It was her, like I said, it was her decision. Her teammates are cool with it. Her coach is cool with it. Therefore, you should be cool with it. That should be your take. Okay.
Usually, sometimes, like, if, you know, we'll have a topic or we'll get into it, and we really get into it, it's because I'm passionate about it and have something. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Why should you? You cannot relate to this young woman at all. Her decision affects you none. You will never be in the position to go. Joe Curry will never be in the position to go, you know what? I just don't think I can go for gold in the Olympics. Joe Curry will never be in that position. And the vast majority of us will never be in that position. And that's okay. Sometimes people need to go, shut the fuck up. But they can't because everybody needs to talk. All right. That being said, so there were jokes about Simone Biles. So she's a four-time gold medalist. She was expected to be the front runner in the Olympics. She withdrew from the gymnastic team finals and all-around individual finals due to concerns about her mental well-being. Her decision has sparked an outpouring of support from athletes in Hollywood for being vocal about her mental health and prioritizing it. On Thursday, Shea posted to his since-deleted story, "Man, I want to make fun of Simone Biles." Then just fucking do it, Michael. We don't need the fucking preamble. If you want it, what are you looking for? A pat on the back? Followed by, "I got like 3 minutes of Simone Biles jokes in my head." Well, he's a quick worker. I'll give him that. I'm going to the cellar to say them into a microphone. As the dorky kids say, "I'm choosing violence." Okay. I'm choosing violence. Okay. Shea then shared two jokes from Instagram users to his story and rated the jokes out of 10, seen in the screenshot captured by Twitter account. Larry Nassar. Now, Larry Nassar is the was the doctor who was sexually abused of a lot of our female gymnasts, including Simone Biles. Simone Biles is the only active gymnast that he sexually assaulted. She's the only one still competing. Everybody else is retired. There's not a long shelf life on being a gymnast. She's actually like a senior citizen at 24 as far as female gymnastics and competitions go. But she's dealing with... So she's still dealing with that too. So forget about representing your country and all the sacrifices and not feeling right. She's also a sexual assault victim before everybody tells you what Simone Biles should fucking do. But here's the joke. Larry Nassar understands Simone Biles better than anyone. He, too, had to quit doing what he loved at the pinnacle of his career because of mounting pressure, wrote one follower, to which Shea wrote, "God damn, that's rough. Absolutely tasteless. 9 out of 10. I gotta be honest, that's a fucking solid joke. It's a solid joke. I mean, if we're just looking at jokes, it's a solid joke. And there's a part of me that wishes I would have thought of it. I honestly have no Simone Biles jokes. I wasn't motivated to write anything because I didn't care about it. But that's a solid joke. All right. And then another Instagram user wrote to Shea, "Who said black don't crack?" And Shea responded with, "Now that's a good joke. Economical, reverential, balance. Good job. 8 out of 10. Again, it's a good joke. I mean, if we're just going on humor, it's a solid joke.
I thought that one was funny.
What?
I thought that one was funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen. Well, I mean, comedy's subjective. He later claimed on his Instagram story that his account was hacked. Of course it was. "Man, I got hacked today. Can't believe they got me. Y'all know I only do jokes about whites and cops. So all good now. I changed my password and everything. Anyway, y'all hear about DaBaby, though? That's crazy. I see y'all church. I'm going to get there early," he wrote, referencing the homophobic comments that rapper DaBaby made at the Rolling Loud Musical Festival last week. Just fucking rap, stupid. Shea is known for his I shouldn't have said that. He's around loud his opinion. By the way, he got kicked out of Lollapalooza. The baby wasn't allowed to appear on Lollapalooza, and they said because they encouraged like a diversity and everything. Well, wait a minute. The baby said some diverse shit. Most people aren't going to get there and do a homophobic screed. I mean, that's fucking diverse.
I have a question. Did he put him out with the bathwater?
Yes, Joe, they did.
Oh my god!
Very good. Very economical. Very good. But I mean, Lollapalooza can't say they're about diversity when they kick out the one guy who went on a homophobic rant. He's the only one there doing that. That's diverse, motherfucker. But anyway. Shea is known for his controversial jokes on social media and his co-anchor of Weekend Update on SNL alongside Colin Jost. He's used his Instagram account several times in the past to respond to critics, and the Biles jokes are the latest to spur backlash from fans and people in Hollywood. Shea rep did not respond to Variety's request for comment. All right, first of all, I don't believe he got hacked. This is some bullshit.
No, he's full of shit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
That's his publicist trying to mop shit up.
Yep.
I don't think... Now, again, it didn't occur to me to do any Simone Biles jokes, but I don't think jokes about her should be off limits. I mean, I think you got, if you're going to do them, you got to expect the blowback. But I think everything's okay. And you know what? I think you could actually get away with the black don't crack joke on a stage. I don't know. The Larry Nassar might be a little too fucking deep and a little too dark, but the black don't crack you could probably pull off on a stage.
Well, the thing with the Larry Nassar joke is I had to look up to see who Larry Nassar was. Just to get, I'm like, oh, I get it. So when you're doing a joke like that, you got, there can't be any lag time in it. You got to get that laugh really quick. Anytime that there's lag time, it's not going to go as well as you thought, you know?
You know, I mean, people are calling for Saturday Night Live and Lauren Michaels and NBC to do something. I don't think they should. Whatever. But I think Michael Che should stop being a pussy and just go, yeah, I posted it. You know, really. I mean, everybody gets hacked when bad shit happens. Nobody gets hacked when good shit happens. Just fucking own it. Go, listen, I'm sorry I upset you. You know, I apologize. Just fucking, if you feel bad.
Where it gets like this, it's like, you made a point. Well, if you're going to do the joke, dude, why are you he was kind of grandstanding with it. Which I get. Well, that can get you in trouble. Now, here's the thing. We commented on the funniness of the jokes. If we're in a meeting trying to sell the project and they turn around to us and go, well, you know, you guys made this joke on your show, but we're just commenting on something, you know, it's a slippery slope, and there's got to be a point where everything is on the table. You know, you say something, it's fine, but, you know, there's a point where as comics you make commentary on that, and sometimes you're not going to be thrilled, but you shouldn't be removed because it is a freedom of speech issue.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, he can do whatever he wants. I don't lose respect for him because he did the Simone Biles jokes. I wouldn't have done them, but whatever. I lose respect for him when he go, I was hacked. Stop it.
You're full of shit.
Yeah.
You're full of shit. And also you went out there and grandstanded the joke.
Well, I mean, according to him, that could all be part of the hacking. According to him, you know, listen, I don't follow his Instagram. I don't know if that's how he writes. I have no idea. It was just another Fakakta story. All right. Now, let's do a little Nazi news. Moving it along.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
So the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee fired the director of the opening ceremony on Thursday because of a Holocaust joke he made during a comedy show in 1998. Organizing Committee President Saiko Hashimoto said a day ahead of the opening ceremony that director Kentaro Kobayashi has been dismissed. He was accused of using a joke about the Holocaust in his comedy act, including the phrase, "Let's play Holocaust." Well, you can't play doctor, let's play Holocaust is the next best thing. We found out that Mr. Kobayashi, in his own performance, has used a phrase ridiculing a historical tragedy, Hashimoto said. We deeply apologize for causing such a development the day before the opening ceremony. You know, a couple of weeks before would have been fine, but the day before it's a problem. The opening ceremony, and for causing troubles and concerns to many involved parties as well as the people in Tokyo and the rest of the country. Joe, you know what else was troublesome about the Japanese during World War II? Pearl Harbor, but I digress. Okay, Tokyo has been...
Yeah.
That was troublesome.
Yeah. That was troublesome.
A little bit.
Tokyo has been plagued with scandals since being awarded the Games in 2013. French investigators are looking to allege bribes paid to International Olympic Committee members to influence the vote for Tokyo. The fallout forced a resignation 2 years ago. Kazu Takeda, who headed the Japanese Olympic Committee and was an IOC member. The opening ceremony of the pandemic-delayed games is scheduled for Friday. Well, they already happened. The ceremony was held without spectators as a measure of preventing the spread of coronavirus infections. By the way, COVID-19 is running out of control in Tokyo and the Olympic Village. Way to go, kids. And the Yankees starting rotation. But I digress. Although some officials guess...
Finally, some good news.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You don't have freedom.
Oh, wow.
You don't have freedom of speech to besmirch the Yankees starting rotation. How dare you? That's a bridge too far. Simone Biles fine, but the Yankees starting rotation suffering COVID. Not on my watch, Mister. We're going to have
Joe was just hacked.
What?
Joe was just hacked.
Joe was hacked. That wasn't true.
Live.
I'm trying to help you because when people go, dude, the Yankees, what the fuck? You go, hey, running rotation to COVID. What do you want out of me?
Yeah, well, the two best starting pitchers. The two best starting pitchers. Anyway, we're going to have the opening ceremony tomorrow. Yes, I am sure there are a lot of people who are not feeling easy about the opening of the games, Hashimoto said. But we are going to open the games tomorrow under this difficult situation. Earlier this week, composer Kaigo Oyamada, whose music was to be used at the ceremony, was forced to resign because of the past bullying of his classmates, which he boasted about in magazine interviews. The segment of his music will not be used. I don't know. Is that going to trigger the bully victims? I don't know. Okay. Soon after a video clip and script of Kobayashi's performance were revealed, criticism flooded social media. Any person, no matter how creative, does not have the right to mock the victims of the Nazi genocide, said known humorist Rabbi Abraham Cooper, associate dean and global social action director of the Simon Wiesenthal Center of Los Angeles-based human rights groups. You know, that's the thing about the human rights groups, not known for their sense of humor. He also noted that the Nazis gassed Germans with disabilities. Yeah, they were fucking horrible. Why do you gotta footnote that shit?
I like that people go, oh, we have to let the people know of the horrible things the Nazis did. You don't have to stop the fucking presses. We're well aware.
Unless it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, and then she needs all the fucking information you could provide. But for the masses, most of us have a pretty good idea. Although maybe not in Japan, as it turns out.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene is nuts.
Yes. No argument there.
Well, I would equate her with that dog that took a shit in the middle of the track. He's in the public eye, but he doesn't know what he's doing.
Only if Matt Gaetz can ride her. If Matt Gaetz can ride her, I'm all in.
I am going to see this.
Yes. Any association of this person to the Tokyo Olympics would insult the memory of 6 million Jews and make a cruel mockery of the Paralympics, he said. Again, on the grand scheme of things, done to the Jews and to people with disabilities.
Nobody's thinking that.
Now, if the joke was in 1999, it might have struck me differently. Kobayashi is a former member of a popular comedy duo, Ramens, and known overseas for comedy series including The Japanese Tradition. Now he's got the Japanese tradition of getting fired. Japan is pushing ahead with the Olympics against the advice of most of its medical experts. Fuck the experts! This is partially due to pressure from the IOC, which is estimated to face losses of $3 billion to $4 billion in television rights income if the games were not held. I mean, really, what else would USA Network have on TV? The official cost of the Olympics is $15.4 billion, but government audits suggest it's much more. All but $6.7 is public money. What a great investment. We've been preparing for the last year to send a positive message, Hashimoto said. Toward the very end now, there are so many incidents that give a negative image to our Tokyo 2020. Toshiro Muto, the CEO of the Tokyo Organizing Committee, also acknowledged the reputational damage. Maybe these negative incidents will impact the positive message we want to deliver to the world, he said. The last-minute scandals come as Prime Minister... Oh, they are fucking killing me with names tonight. Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga's government faces criticism. Channeled by inner Michael Jackson. for prioritizing the Olympics despite public health concerns amid a resurgence of coronavirus infections. Oh, but it's not over yet. Koichi Nakano, who teach politics at Sophia, that's a name I can say, university.
There we go.
The opening ceremony chaos underscores a lack of awareness in Japan about diversity. Well, in their defense, in World War II, they had their own tragedy called two fucking bombs. Tokyo governor... Oh, more names. Yuriko Koike said she learned of Kobayashi's... It's supposed to be... They spelled it wrong, too. Kobayashi's comments from Hashimoto. I was astonished, she said. Where's Godzilla? Burn his ass! Kobayashi's Holocaust joke and Oyamada's resignation were the latest to plague the games. Yoshiro Mori resigned as organizing committee president over sexist remarks. Hiroshi Sasaki also stepped down as creative director for the opening and closing ceremonies after suggesting a Japanese actress should dress as a pig. Why? Also this week, the chiropractor for the American women's wrestling team apologized after comparing Olympic COVID-19 protocols to Nazi Germany in a social media post. All right, get with Marjorie Taylor Greene over there. Enough. Rosie Gallegos Maine, the team's chiropractor since 2009, will be allowed to finish her planned stay at the USA Wrestling's pre-Olympic campaign in Nakatsugawa, Japan. All right, Pip, this is, I'll let you have first crack. This is your blog. Have at it, dear.
Well, you know, when I first heard about this story, I thought, well, what the heck did he say that was so bad? So I had to look into it, and it seems that there was a TV show where this comedy duo, the Ramens, was on 23 years ago, and they were doing a comedy skit, and they were pretending, they were mocking a popular children's show in Japan. And one of the features of this popular children's show was paper folding. So this is kind of, you know, Teletubbies with origami? I don't know. Anyway, they were pretending to be a knockoff of that show. And they were doing a skit about things that they couldn't do on the show because readers had complained about smoking and stripping and different things that they were not allowed to do on the show. So then they started talking about things that they were going to try for the next week. And one of the characters suggested, well, maybe we could fold, you know, a baseball bat and beat up the audience. And the audience would be made of paper dolls. And so the other actor mimed picking up a box of paper dolls and said, oh, we already have these already from last week, last time when we were talking about playing a game called, the game was called Play at a Holocaust. And, you know, it's beat the people, the paper dolls with the bat. And they were talking about how their producer got so mad when they suggested that this, it's not appropriate for a children's show. And that was the entirety of the skit. Now, I don't think that people are taking into account that what they were doing was a satire of a children's show, and they were looking for things that were the most outrageous thing they could think of that would be inappropriate to do on a children's show. So, I mean, yeah, it's not right to keep, I think, reusing the Holocaust and Nazis over and over again is not right because it devalues the horror that we feel as people regarding those events. However, I learned all of this stuff from a YouTube video by, I suppose, a Japanese man who was explaining the skit. He was translating and also explaining that in Japanese culture, younger people, a lot of them don't really understand the power of bringing up Nazis and the Holocaust because they kind of look at their culture as insular, that they are creating content only for other Japanese people. They kind of, in this respect, don't think outside of the country. Like, the whole world is going to look at this, and they're going to be aghast at you bringing this up. They kind of don't get that sense of history. So, to my mind, it seemed like, at this point, perhaps the Olympic Committee is freaking out about various things going wrong with, you know, people that are involved in the Olympics, and they're kind of on a, well, let's chase it down before anybody else finds it, fact-finding mission. The fact that they're reaching back 23 years for a satirical skit that wasn't making fun of the Holocaust, it was using that as a giant bat to crack a walnut, really, of a joke, but they're looking back way too far and trying to find insult where it wasn't, it doesn't seem to me that it was intended in that way. And I thought that rather than firing Kobayashi for this joke, which he has apologized for. He said in his youth, he thought that he had to be really edgy. He was insecure about how funny he was, and he thought he had to be really out there to really make it funny. And he said, you know, he's an older man now in his maturity. He said, that wasn't the right way to go. I'm sorry. And I think that rather than firing him, this could have been a teachable moment where they could have said, this is what was said. The Simon Wiesenthal Institute said this about it. For people who don't understand, even if you're just doing it for a Japanese audience, the internet is worldwide, and there are people who were affected by this that still don't think it's fucking funny, nor do I. But, I mean, I don't think the guy needs to be castigated for this joke that he did in his early 20s.
Well, 30 years ago, and like you said, people don't think it's funny, and neither do you. However, this was 30 years ago. Society was different 30 years ago. You know, I mean, the Rochester album cover, but this was 30 years ago, okay? It's not respectable. I mean, what are you doing about it now? Look at the Fragile Sky album cover. It's a different thing. It was a different time, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Kobayashi handled this whole thing completely wrong. Kobayashi's an asshole, and I'll tell you why. He should have said, in 1998 he was hacked. That's all he had to say. He was hacked.
Another thing. Okay, with this whole thing with the composer, he was doing something about bullying and bullying. It was years ago. Let me tell you something. There was a guy that used to bully me in high school, okay? And he is now a vice president at an insurance company. Now, when they are in the middle of a meeting working on an insurance plan for a company, do you think I come in and go, don't go with him? He pushed me by the water fountain and wanted $5. He'll drop a fucking net on me and hold me away. Years ago.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You might get better insurance if you threaten to call him on the carpet for that.
Maybe I'll write
them down. I don't know. Like, what's the statute? I mean, first of all, it was a joke. What's the statute of limitations on it? It was so long ago. Like Pip said, just make it a teachable moment. I think for me, the real question is, how does one play Holocaust? That's what
apparently, you take a cardboard box full of paper dolls, then you fold yourself an origami bat, and then you start whack-a-mole.
There's the real problem with the joke. The joke would have been much better if he took the paper dolls, put them in a box, and lit them on fire. Because that's actually playing Holocaust. See, so this guy is showing what an open micer he really was.
But you want to know how crazy shit is? What you just said, let's say if you wound up on Saturday Night Live, you're in a Shane Gillis moment. And some busybody goes in and looks what you just said. Look what he said. He's accentuating what was said. And it gets to the point where it's killing freedom of speech. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's not freedom of speech. And I said this before. Here's how I would handle that. Because, it could happen to something. You go, listen, I said a lot of terrible things. I'm not scrubbing any of it. It's all there. I also said a lot of good things. You can go back and pour over the videotapes, and you guys figure out what I was joking about and what I was serious about. And then the question is, what do you think we can have? What do you think can be humorous or not? And that's really the conversation, and that's subjective. But I'm not apologizing for any of it. You figure out what I was saying, and that's what it would be.
All this thing is we're working for a diverse environment, and they are, to make sure as many people are as part of a fucking super spreader so these motherfuckers don't lose billions of dollars. They're a bunch of fucking hypocritical assholes. They're concerned. They're having this, and the only reason that they didn't cancel it and there's nobody there is because they could lose billions of dollars, and they're going to sit there and fucking preach about morality? They're fooling shit.
That's a good point. The other thing is that, you can just say that somebody yelled fire and you can't just go, he made a joke about the Holocaust, burn him at the stake. There was no context, and that's why I had to look into it. There was no context. What did he say? What was the context of it? Was it like, I'm not going to say stuff that's going to, that's horrible just to make an example. But I'm just saying that I needed to know what was said. And it's like, so now this guy is oh, you made fun of the Holocaust. No, not exactly. Not exactly. Wow. You know, I don't think that what they're doing is fair at all. And we should all be wary of being tarnished by just this brush like this without, like, you have to parse it. And I and like you said, it's 23 years ago, and comedy evolves. Society evolves. What people think is, you know, edgy, they might think is just, like, unbelievably gross and unacceptable in another decade. So I'm not a big fan of, you know, Holocaust humor, but I'm just saying, cut the guy a break, would you?
And that's a great point. Society was more accepting of things 20, 30 years ago, and you went with what was accepted in society back then. Let's even go back further. 50 years ago, could you imagine going into a producer's office and go, I've got a great show about a German prisoner or a war camp? It's a comedy. It happened. It was on TV for years. It's on reruns on MeTV.
It features funny Nazis.
Yeah, and I would even think that MeTV has gotten probably letters from these holier-than-now people going, how could you wear something like that? You know, it's ridiculous where we are.
All right, let's move on. All right, our last story about the Olympics. The International Olympic Committee is facing outcry after it allowed an alleged member of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps to compete and win gold at the Tokyo Olympics. Javad Farouhi.
I love how he sounds like he's in pain. All the names, they kill him.
Secured the gold medal in the 10-meter air pistol. Bang, bang! No, that's not the air pistol. On Saturday. The first and only medal so far for Iran in Tokyo. In the days since, international critics, including some from Iran, have accused Farouhi, 41, of being a member of the IRGC, a powerful ideological Iranian military branch that answers directly to the supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. An activist group called United for Navid called Farouhi's gold medal a catastrophe and demanded an IOC investigation. The group is named for Iranian wrestler Navid Afkari, whom the state executed in 2020 after he participated in anti-government protests. Afkari was convicted of murdering a security guard during the protest. His family and activists claim he was tortured into giving a false confession by a state that has reportedly coerced more than 350 false confessions in the past decade. See, now, if coercing false confessions was an Olympic event, Iran'd be kicking ass. We consider the awarding of an Olympic gold medal to Iran marksman Javid Farouhi not only a catastrophe for Iranian sports, but also for the international community, and especially the reputation of the IOC. Slow down. The IOC has a shit reputation without this. A United for Navid statement reads, the 41-year-old Farouhi is a current and longtime member of the terrorist organization. The IRGC has a history of violence and killing not only of Iranian people and protesters there, but also innocent people in Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. Oh, they're international. It is a designated foreign terrorist organization by the United States. I guess that's our job now. We go, terrorist, not a terrorist. I guess that's our thing. We call for an immediate investigation by the IOC, because if anybody knows corruption and shady shit, it's the IOC. And until an investigation is completed, the suspension of any medal award. Former President Donald Trump designated the IRGC as a terrorist group in 2019, the first time the U.S. has made the designation of an official part of another nation's government. The IRGC has a history of violence within Iran and in foreign conflicts. Per the Washington Post, the supreme leader uses the IRGC to enforce his will upon the Iranian people and squash any perceived threats, both from inside and outside the country. The IRGC has allied with Hamas, Hezbollah, and supported Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in his attacks on anti-government protesters in the civil war that's claimed them more than 380,000 lives. On Friday, six-time Korean medalist Korean shooter Jing Jong-oh, I'm not making fun of it, that's his name, echoed United for Navid's statement calling for Farouhi's medal.
Sounds like you ring the doorbell at a wrong house.
Joe, that's racist. Stop. Pure nonsense in comments to Korean reporters.
Jin failed to make it past the qualification stage in Tokyo. Well, there's a lot of Jin, I understand. How can the terrorists win first place? That's the most absurd and ridiculous thing. Is it? He said to the Korea Times, on Friday, the IOC challenged United for Navi to provide evidence that Farohi is a member of the IRGC. We would encourage them, if they have any evidence, to send that to us, IOC spokesman Mark Adams said, per the Associated Press. Farohi claims to have served as a nurse in Syria between 2013 and 15. He told reporters before the games that he first picked up a pistol when he found one under a hospital. Under a hospital? What the fuck is
that? Yeah, really.
It's a weird place.
That was very random.
And then he had never seen one prior to that. Per the IOC, he said he scored 85 points on 10 shots after he received instruction on how to use it and has been practicing since. According to the AFP, state-run media in Iran celebrated his victory, describing him as a defender of health and of the shrine. I thought he could just shoot straight. With one publication showing a photo of him giving a military salute during the Iranian anthem as he received his gold medal. All right, here's the thing. I think the time to do all the background checks is before they qualify for the Olympics, or once they qualify. Once you qualify for the Olympics, we're going to do a background check. We're going to make sure you're not a rapist. We're going to make sure you're not a terrorist. We're going to make sure you're not a murderer. We're going to look these things up, because that's on us, because we don't want any of those people competing in the Olympics, because we're the IOC, and we have a fine reputation. Now,
right.
What?
And also... I'm sorry. Also, it's not like, well, he was on the ping pong team, and he looked into it, and he's just playing ping. He was shooting a gun! Well, where did he learn to practice? At us!
At us.
give him a sentence. I mean, what?
If only they would have bomb making and hijacking as Olympic events, Iran would be kicking ass.
They did have the track and field event for him, but to make him feel at home, they had the track look like a fucking aisle of an airplane.
Listen, I kind of agree with the IOC's, like, all right, you're saying this guy's a terrorist? Prove it. Because it's a little late now. Once the guy wins the medal and competes, that's it, unless you can prove it. You know, you can't just be flapping your gums. Now, if it turns out this guy is a terrorist, what are you going to do? You're not going to take the medal. You're going to fucking fight with a terrorist over a medal? I think not.
I was just going to say, we're going to take the medal. No, you're going to take the medal.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to recognize it. You'll give the silver a gold and go for it. I don't know. I think they missed the boat on this. They dropped the ball. The time was before the man competed. Now it's up on you who are bitching about it to prove it. But I think the IOC's got to do a better job. Or we could just say, fuck it. It's about sports. If you're a terrorist, so be it. If you're a rapist, so be it. Not our problem. How high can you jump? We can do that, too. That's fine.
And especially, well, here's an Iranian that's really good with a gun. Well, let's look into this.
What a shock. And it's the first one he ever saw. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, Michael Che is busy wiping his account. At the same time, this guy found a gun. Never saw one before. Magic.
I don't know, man. I mean, I just think it's a little crazy to take away the medal after the fact, you know, just because there's outrage.
If they find proof,
yeah,
they got to do it. But, I mean, like I said, if he was on the ping pong team, oh, my God, he's on the shooting thing. What do you think he got
in practice? It is, as Lisa said, should this not have been vetted beforehand?
Yeah, like...
Davin said that, yeah. I mean, look, if you're going to dig back 23 years to find this guy's bad joke in a skit, you think you could figure out who the terrorists are? How the hell did he get on the plane? How did he get through the airport? Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the interesting thing was...
But the man that was going, la, 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 shooting, he's fine.
The interesting thing was... this group just became a terrorist or called a terrorist organization in 2019. Trump said you're a terrorist, and then they became terrorists. When the hell did we become the authority on who's a terrorist and not? Like, I get like why it's like, you know, America. Wait, hold on. I get why America, because our president says that's a terrorist organization. I get why we would recognize it, but why does the whole world have to recognize who we think are terrorists? It's all subjective, really. Like to citizens.
citizens when our president says that's a terrorist organization. All right, you need to pay attention to that shit.
For the simple reason that they're outraged over some guy that was said he was a bully in an article, and this other guy that wrote a joke 30 years ago. They're concerned about that.
Yeah, but Joe,
everybody's got to be concerned about
Joe. That. You're missing the point. Words hurt. Words hurt, my friends.
Let me tell you, a 45 slug doesn't tickle either.
That's fair enough. You know, maybe they should make insults an Olympic sport. Better. By the way, well, a brief aside. I saw this the other day, and I posted about this on Facebook. Apparently, 3-on-3 basketball is now an Olympic sport. If 3-on-3 basketball is an Olympic sport, it's time to make wiffle ball an Olympic sport. I mean, really? Yes, it's a pickup game. Let's make cornhole an Olympic sport. Let's make monkeys riding dogs an Olympic sport. I mean, at some point, don't you just stop? But all right, enough. Okay, let's do some.
No, by the way,
yeah.
I just found out what cornhole meant. I thought that was something completely different. And at first, I was like, "What are we talking about? What?" Oh,
it's a game.
Toss in the bag.
It's a game.
Somebody be trying new things this weekend.
I was a little shocked.
All right, let's do some School of Fools.
A fool.
How long have you been doing this show? 11 years?
Yeah, well, you know, she's very delicate.
I'm a delicate flower, goddammit.
Yes.
All right. Poison ivy. Are you kidding me?
So we actually did a poll on this, and it got a lot of participation. It's an interesting story. It goes back to the COVID, because apparently we're doing COVID stories again, because we can't escape. Take the fucking shot, stupid. Anyway, okay. An incoming college freshman was denied admission to her dream school and lost $200,000 in scholarships because she would not get vaccinated against coronavirus due to her pre-existing medical condition. Olivia Sander. By the way, this Olivia Sander, I got this story from... Where'd I get this? The Daily Mail. Can I just tell you, she's a very attractive girl, this Olivia Sander. The Daily Mail could not show enough pictures of this young woman that had nothing to do with this story. Talk about tabloid. Oh, here she is posing. Here she is in a flower bed. It's like, why do we need half a dozen pictures? Because she's a piece of ass. If she looked like a troll, there'd be like a little tiny picture of her. But I digress.
I can't wait till we do the story on Nancy Pelosi.
Well, there you go. There'll be a little tiny picture.
Lying back in a field in a bed of roses, you know. Yeah.
There'll be a sketch of Nancy taken from the distance. Anyway,
the and make you vomit. Yeah.
Anyway, and by the way, we don't need the fucking Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House. Talking about fucking hitting people. We don't need that shit. Did we not just have violence in January 6th? What is wrong with these people? And we don't need Nancy calling him a moron. Leave that to me. He's a moron. Can we stop with that? I can't with these politicians. I can't. They're all assholes. But people
are
losing,
they are.
People are losing jobs from jokes from 1998. Ugh. Anyway, back to Olivia Sander. Olivia Sander, 18, said Brigham Young University, Hawaii, denied her fall admission due to state and college vaccination requirements, despite the fact that they had already awarded her scholarship money. Sander, who suffers from, even the fucking diseases tonight, Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS, shared her story on Sean Hannity. Now, that's a name I know. Thank you, Sean. Sean Hannity's
Fox. I got a funny feeling you're going to be picking stories from highlights next week.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Everybody next week will be Smith and Jones.
Right. And in this story, Jane threw the ball. Jim threw the ball, too.
Yeah, but Jim was offended the way Jane threw it, so now Jane's fired. But anyway.
Yeah.
and explain how she'd requested an exemption from the school's vaccination requirement after a team of medical providers advised her against getting the COVID-19 shot. But the university denied her request for exemption and told her to re-enroll after getting vaccinated. Sander developed GBS after receiving an influenza vaccine in 2019 and was paralyzed from the waist down for over a month as a result. She said that while attending BYUH was her dream, the risks associated with the coronavirus vaccine do not outweigh the reward. "I do not want to relapse and have another episode of Guillain-Barre," she told Hannity. "It's really, truly not worth it to me." That makes sense. The exemption letter written by Sanders' doctor and made public by the Turning Point USA reads in part, "Because of Sanders' medical history, I believe a COVID vaccine or another influenza vaccine will endanger her health and possibly her life, and that she should avoid those vaccines indefinitely. However, her request was met with the denial from the university via email. After careful consideration of your request for a medical exemption, we regret that we cannot accommodate your request," the email read. "Thank you, no. Due to our unique location, diverse student population, and daily interaction with international tourists at the Polynesian Cultural Center, we must take extra precautions to protect our campus and community. The university also encouraged her to consider attending BYUH when she's able to be fully vaccinated or considering attendance of one of their other church universities. Sanders said that since BYUH did not alert students of the vaccination mandate until mid-June," well, I mean, it's a fucking new vaccine, Olivia, "she doesn't know what she's going to do about college. All those scholarships are gone. I really don't know where I'm going to turn or what my next steps are." BYUH did not immediately respond to DailyMail.com's request for comment. GBS is a very rare serious condition that affects the body's nerves. It is thought to be caused by a problem with the immune system where it attacks the body's nerves rather than infections. It is not clear why this happens, but it often occurs after an infection, especially one in the airways, as can happen with the flu. Some vaccines, including COVID-19 shot, are believed to trigger GBS. Dr. Nicole Safier, a radiologist and the director of breast imaging at Memorial Sloan Kettering Mammoth, told Fox. Okay, hold on. We gotta stop the presses right here. If we're talking about vaccines and COVID-19, why are we getting a fakakta radiologist? I mean, shouldn't we get somebody in the field?
The scientist was on vacation.
Fair enough, Joe. Fair enough. But you get my point. I mean, you kind of lose a little bit when you go into the radiologist.
They should have reached out to an internist if they were going to do anything.
But that's what Trump did with this Dr. Atlas. He was like, he was Trump's COVID-19 expert, and he had nothing to do with vaccines or immune systems or anything. So it's the same thing. It's like, get somebody in the field. Then I'm going to listen. Anyway, however, the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention does not include a history of GBS as a precaution for vaccination. The CDC, people who have previously had GBS may receive a COVID-19 vaccine, and that is as of June 16. No cases of GBS have been reported following vaccination in participants in the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine clinical trials. See, that's the thing. The Moderna ones, like the Pfizer and the Moderna, they're not like taken with the actual virus. So look at Pip. She's frozen. She looks like the fucking Cheshire Cat. Anyway, look at her. All fucking smug looking and frozen. One case of GBS was reported in a vaccinated participant in the Johnson & Johnson Janssen COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial. Despite this, Vander still is hesitant to get the shot. "Despite what the internet says, I'm going to listen to the radiologist. I truly believe that the vaccine is not meant for me," Sanders said. "And if you feel that's necessary for you to get vaccinated, then by all means, I have nothing against you. But I do not feel that those with medical exemptions should be pushed to have this vaccine." Safier says that although Sander is more at risk of contracting COVID than other students, she understands apprehension about getting the shot. "As long as she's continuing to protect herself from COVID-19, whether it be masking or whatever she's doing, I would also be just as afraid of viral infection," she told the news outlet. "In terms of going to Hawaii, they need to be more flexible because once she's on that island, when they have proven through testing and through quarantining that she doesn't have the virus, she's not placing anyone else at risk. She is at risk as someone who has suffered one of these consequences. During the pandemic, Hawaii had issued some of the strictest COVID-19 restrictions in the nation. Until recently, the state required all tourists to partake in a mandatory 14-day quarantine upon arrival and required a negative COVID-19 test taken within 72 hours before a traveler's departing flight. The state also accepted results from a nucleic acid amplification test, NAAT, from a certified lab on its approved travel partner list.
Now the state is permitting fully vaccinated travelers from the U.S. mainland to visit the island without quarantine. Travelers will be required to show officials their vaccine card as well as upload it to the state's Safe Travels website. Similar to other state requirements, required immunizations, BYUH is also mandating students to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 before entering the university. Like other required immunizations, students must provide proof of vaccination. All right, so there's like 500 colleges that are doing this now. Like BYH, most colleges are offering vaccination exemptions for bona fide religious or medical reasons. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 cure... All right, so yeah, it's spreading. COVID-19 is getting out of control again with the Delta variant. All right, so here was the poll question. Again, a lot of people participated. A student was denied admission to BYU Hawaii for refusing to get COVID vaccine after doctors said it could worsen her condition. Should schools be allowed to deny admission if a student has a medical exemption? 26.7% said yes. 73.3% said no. So most people feel a school should not be able to deny admission, even with a mental exemption. I got to go with the minority on this one, though. I mean, it's a private entity; they can make their own rules. I mean, we see businesses doing this. Other schools are doing this. They can make their own rules. I think the bigger issue for this young lady is forget about what the school's doing. You can't even get into the state if you don't have a vaccine and you're coming from the mainland. I think that's the real issue, and that could be a legal cause of action where she could possibly sue the state, because I don't know what where it is in the Constitution, but you are supposed to be able to travel freely, and this is preventing her from traveling freely. So I think her real beef is with the state of Hawaii, because even if BYUH said, yeah, come on in, we'll give you the exemption, she can't come there, because if you want to come to Hawaii, you have to prove that you're vaccinated, and there's no indication that they're giving medical exemptions for that.
This is a story, you know, it's one of these stories where you have to think about it.
Yeah.
And everybody's got a point in this. She's got a point where this, you know, she took a vaccine before and it paralyzed her. So she knows the ramifications of getting it. On her end, I would not get the vaccine.
No, I wouldn't either.
Due to that ramification.
Yeah.
Okay, now, on the school's end, okay, when I was in college, there was somebody had meningitis. And everybody had to have proof that you had a shot for meningitis. I remember my mom and I were going through all my medical records to make sure I had this and blah, 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 because I couldn't go back to school until I had proof. And that was the end of the story. If the school is that worried, the school has every right to tell it, look, we understand, but nobody's coming back unless they've been vaccinated. I'm sorry. That's the way it was. Well, I already got the scholarship. Well, time, with everything going on with this, things change month to month, week to week. So we both have a point. She's, you know, that's the breaks. What are you going to do?
Yeah, like, I wish there was some way where they could transfer that $200,000 in scholarships to another Brigham Young University school. I don't know if they could do that. Like, I feel bad for this young lady. I certainly understand her hesitation. I think she should be able to take the Myrna vaccines, but again, I don't blame her for not wanting to mess around with that stuff, but I think like
I don't. You see, and that's the thing. The school is right, but after what she went through, it's like no. You know what? No, it's a decision you got to make. I mean, it is what it is, and you know the ramifications. If you have a bad reaction, you already had a bad reaction. You're going to have to figure something different out. Sorry, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, even with the vaccine, you could still get COVID-19. Honestly, this girl seems very susceptible to illnesses. She really should think about whether she wants to fly or be out and about at this time, because it seems to, whatever she had, that disease, seems to affect the immune system. I'm very worried for her own health, actually. But I think we both agree it sucks, but the school is well within their rights. And I contend that her real beef is with the state of Hawaii, and maybe she could sue them for not letting her enter the state as a citizen of the United States. That might be.
And like I said, when that one person had meningitis, and the college turned around and said, "You have to have proof or the shot, or you're not coming back." Was what it was. Had to figure it out. There's no way around it.
Yes, Pip, are you still there?
I am. I'm listening. I just can't get back on easy, and so I'm trying. I'm efforting to get back on. I think I might pop up any second. But the thing, I don't, don't really have anything to add.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. You guys said everything that I was thinking, so I got nothing to add.
All right. So we're going to close out segment two of the show. Last week we talked about the woman, Andrea Dick. Now there's a name I can pronounce. Andrea Dick from Roselle Park, New Jersey. She had the numerous anti-Joe Biden signs on her front yard, including several with the word fuck, because why wouldn't you? And it was a block away from her house is a block away from an elementary school. There's an obscenity law in the town where you can't have obscenities, but she said free speech, yada yada yada. It went to the court, and Joe thought, you know, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with this woman? Take down the signs. You know, we have an obscenity law, but it proceeded through the courts. So I will update everybody, and then we can all move on with our lives, I guess. A New Jersey woman who can leave up several banners that use what local officials called an obscenity to express her hostility to her President Joe Biden. I think I saw it at the Orange County Fair. A state court ruled on Tuesday. The ruling came after the woman, Andrea Dick of Roselle Park, enlisted the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey to fight a municipal judge's order that she take the banners off a fence outside the house where she lives with her mother or face $250 a day of fines. After the civil liberties group joined the case, Roselle Park officials backpedaled on their earlier demand that Dick take down the banners and effectively dropped the matter. I feel amazing, Dick 54 said after this. Really, do you? You haven't gotten laid in a long time, said after the Superior Court. There's a Dick who's not getting any. It said,
yeah, you haven't gotten your last name in a while, huh, dear?
It says it in the name, but clearly she's without. Said after the Superior Court of New Jersey dismissed the case, which was brought against her mother, Patricia Delazio, who owns the home where...
That's a terrible middle name.
What?
Patricia, oh, motherfucker, Delazio. Well,
you can only use that on an anti-Biden sign, apparently. Who owns the home where banners have hung since Memorial Day weekend. Because you know what? Nothing says commemorating our troops like fuck Joe Biden. I'm glad it's over. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with people? I'm glad it's over, added Dick, who said she'd gotten angry calls and at least 20 pieces of hate mail from as far away.
It's like an interview after a money shot.
So she got mail from all over the country. The clash was the latest such episode to emerge from America's fractured political landscape to highlight the delicate balance local officials must sometimes strike between defending free speech and responding to concerns about language that some residents find offensive. The conflict involved 3 of 10 banners that Dick, a diehard supporter of former President Donald Trump. By the way, Donald Trump would call you a one, Ms. Dick, so you got no shot. Had hung at the house. They included a crude word whose use the Supreme Court long ago ruled could not be restricted simply to protect those it offends. Roselle Park officials citing complaints from neighbors and concerns that children on the way to a nearby school could be exposed to the vulgar language. We already covered that. Freedom of speech. Yeah, we did that. Dick vowed to challenge the ruling on free speech grounds, and the Civil Liberties Union group stepped in, filing a brief on her behalf. At that point, Roselle Park officials reverse course and dismiss the summons. In a statement, Jared H. Cantor, the borough attorney, said Roselle Park stood by the summons and agreed with Bundy's decision. However, Cantor continued, the borough feels that continued attention garnered by the inappropriate display and the escalating cost to the taxpayers of continuing to litigate the matter causes far greater harm to the borough as a whole than good. He's got a point there. Mayor Joseph Signorello III called the matter a moral loss for Roselle Park, a town of 14,000 people, about a 40-minute drive from Times Square, who overwhelmingly voted for Biden. Those signs are offensive, and were I a neighbor, I'd be offended. You cannot legislate decency, and I think that's a sad reality. The Civil Liberties Group hailed the court's action as an uncomplicated victory for free speech. Huzzah for free speech. The First Amendment exists especially to make sure people can express strong opinions on political issues or any other matter without fear of punishment by the government, Amal Sinha, the executive director of the group's New Jersey chapter, said. Alexander Shalom, and shalom to you, Alexander, the group's senior supervising attorney, responded to Cantor's reference to the potential cost of litigation by saying it was fiscally prudent for Roselle Park to drop the matter because it was a sure loser for them. Let's see. Conflicts like this one involving Dick have come up this year on Long Island, Indiana, Tennessee, and Connecticut, and elsewhere. In Florida, on Wednesday, the Code Enforcement Board of Punta Gorda, Florida, is set to rule on a summons issued to a resident for violating a recently adopted indecency provision by displaying an anti-Biden banner with a similarly crude message. Jay Nadelson, a member of the board, said he believed the provision was unconstitutional, asked how he thought the meeting on Wednesday would go. He said he expected it to be contentious. Signorella of Roseville Park said the borough planned to alter its regulations to limit how much signage can appear on a homeowner's property. Dick's banners would most likely not be subject to any new rules because she hung them before any changes occurred. As far as Dick's concerned, she's like, the banners aren't going anywhere. What's up there is staying until I'm told differently, she said. And I'm still not going to get laid. Let's see. I mean, listen, I think, like I said last week, I think the real interesting thing is now what's going to happen with these HOAs where they try to tell you what to do. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you sign an agreement, but ultimately, can they enforce that? So I think that's where that's going. That's why I said I don't know how it's going to go. I kind of see both sides of it. But this woman's a fucking pig as far as being a neighbor is concerned. I don't know this person, but like I said last week, I mean, if you have to live by that, or as Joe said, you're driving your kid to school, you got to see that. I mean, you hate Joe Biden all you want, just don't use the word.
I get, you know, and also I was, like I said, basically it was what the community deems obscene, What might have happened is the judge might have turned around and go, okay, what is the list? Provide me what the town deems obscene. Well, it's, you know, no, give me, and I'm like, I'm just speculating. Give me what the town, you know, what seems obscene. I think the town's, well, God, now we got to spend more time in court. Now it's going to cost money. And I guess he just said the hell with it.
No, I don't blame them. I think Roselle Park did the right thing. I mean, how far are you going to push this thing? This woman's getting all this publicity because for all the people that hate her, she's a hero to others. You know, they say, all right, enough. Well, you know what? We're going to take our losses and move on. I think they did the right thing by their citizens.
Yeah, they had to cut their losses because, you know, as the attorneys are laughing their way to the bank, it's like the citizens are getting nothing out of this lawsuit. And, I mean, I would just like to see all the neighbors hang up giant pictures of penises with arrows pointing towards her house. I mean, it's
that
not wrong.
Yeah. You know, and if the neighbors want to do that, then they'll do that. And you know what? If he did, you got to take that down. That's obscene. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's up. Bro, fuck Biden. So we want to go back to court, you know?
Or just and the then, word dick. Dick. And an arrow pointing at her house.
Yeah, now you're going to have a neighborhood that looks like a truck stop bathroom with
I think you could see a lot more obscene stuff out there. We're already seeing it. You know, listen, our worst angels are getting the best of it. The thing about Donald Trump is, oh, he tells it like it is. He speaks like everybody. Yeah, we're a bunch of fucking heathens. We used to have like the you know, proper decor. You know, what you said behind your closed doors was different than what you portrayed to the rest of the world. It was a nicer place.
So like we were saying last week, you blame social media, Facebook and Twitter. Because, like I said, the only time you ever, like, at least when I was a kid, the only time I ever heard politics was discussed was at a holiday table or when my mom and grandma were talking in the car about it.
But there was also a time where, like, if you uttered a curse, it slipped out, you'd be embarrassed. You'd be like, I can't believe this fucking thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, wow, I don't know where that came. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because you didn't do that in polite conversation. Are we more real now? Yeah, and we're really a bunch of pigs and animals. It's kind of sad. I'm not saying we got to be Leave It to Beaver, but I mean, there's something to be said where you walk down the street and it's a nice neighborhood. Like I said, hate Joe Biden all you want. I don't really care. But why do you got to curse? Well, that's the only thing. You can curse. You have the freedom to do it. But why do you have to? Are you that inarticulate? And the answer is yes, we are.
And in another thing, I believe I mentioned it last week. You're ruining your narrative. You're ruining your narrative because people are just going to focus on that. You're ruining your narrative. It's going to turn on you. You know, it's like any time a demonstration goes awry or something like that, or you put a fuck Biden sign up there, you're ruining your narrative. So, you know, and usually it's not the brightest lot in the bunch that do shit like that. So, you know.
Well, so that's what happened with that. So good for Andrea Dick. She's certainly a hero. And to some people, she is a hero. I'm like, you know, whatever. Okay, whatever. Listen, I feel dumber forever having read the name Andrea Dick. But the story was interesting. It was an interesting story. And now, Joe, when they come at you for your hibachi, tell them, fuck you. You got freedom of grilling. They can't tell you what to do.
I'm glad there was a prologue to that because it was a very interesting story on how he would rule on that. So, that was good. I'm glad we did the follow-up on that.
Well, I mean, we didn't really get ultimately how, if it went to the Supreme Court, how they would rule, because Roselle Parks had enough of this noise. But it is that...
Well, I think, I speculated, Roselle Parks might have had to go, give us your interpretation of what's indecent. And now it's lawyers, now it's more time, now it's this. And they're like, and he probably said, "This is going to cost us at least $100,000 to deal with this."
Yeah,
it's
not worth it. I do like your idea of like pointing, making signs and pointing dicks at that woman. I do feel that would be an outstanding display of spite.
An outstanding display of spite. It's going to be an outstanding display of law because if it you got to take that down. No. There's no fine definition of what's obscene. We just went. You want to go to court again? You want to go through this again? You know. So it's going to look, the whole town's going to look like a truck stop bathroom by the time this gets done.
All right.
Oh, it worked the second time. Good. All right.
Well, she is a dick. I'm not saying anything bad.
All right. Let's take our final break. We'll come back with some scamming scammers. On the break, we have new music from Dead Crow Road with Good Times, Bad Times. That's another cover. And Jenny Laws with Everything You Know About Me, and that's an original track. And you can learn more about both of them at juicemusic.com.